I am so excited to have Pastor Dave Stone with us today. Dave is the senior pastor of Southeast Christian Church in Louisville, Kentucky. I've been following their church for over 10 years and have been so impressed with their heart to reach the unchurched in their community. They have a weekly attendance of over 22,000 and also have three regional campuses in the Kentuckiana area. Their mission is to connect people to Jesus and one another. Dave is also the author of a newly released series of books called Faithful Families. He's married to Beth and has three kids, Savannah, Sadie, and Sam, and a son-in-law, Patrick Garcia. I've got to tell you, I enjoy listening to Dave teach, so I'm really excited to have him here teaching you chapter 5 of the story. So, would you please give Dave Stone a warm Northview welcome?
Thank you. Well, thank you so much. It's a real honor to get to be here. I've heard so much about Northview. I got to experience a little bit yesterday. I'm thrilled to be a part of what God is doing here, and I admire you all from afar, and sure appreciate everything that Steve is doing, and that so many volunteers and staff are doing here at Northview. I have to be honest with you, though. I know I got some strange looks because I am from Kentucky, you know? And I understand we do things a little differently in Kentucky than what you all do in Indiana. It is a little bit of a different world. Maybe you've heard the top 5 things that you'll never hear a Kentuckian say. Are you familiar with these? Top 5 things you never hear a Kentuckian say. Number 5, duct tape won't fix that. Number 4, the tires on your truck are too big. You never hear that. The third thing you'll never hear a Kentuckian say is, she's too old to wear a bikini. No. Sorry, but you won't, all right? Number 2, has anybody seen my sideburns trimmer? And the number 1 thing you'll never hear a Kentuckian say, Alex, I'll take Shakespeare for 1,000, you know? We just don't say that. It's a very different place, all right? Last night after the service, I'm outside, I'm talking with somebody, and he's kind of ripping on Kentucky. I'm very accustomed to this, you know, he's counting my teeth, you know, and all this, and hey, he's got his shoes on, look at that. But I'm like, yeah, you know, some of us really do these things. And then he said, you know, but it's so different. In the Indianapolis area, we got a great zoo. He said, it's very different than the zoo that you have in Kentucky. And, I mean, we actually do have a pretty decent zoo, and so I was a little taken back by this and bristled up a little, and I said, now, wait a second. I said, we got a great zoo. He said, oh, I didn't say you don't have a great zoo. He said, it's just very different than the one that we have. I said, how so? He said, well, in Indianapolis, he said, on each cage, we have the name of the animal in English, and then next to it, we have the name of the animal in Latin. I went, whoa. I said, well, what do we have in Kentucky? He said, well, on each cage, you have the name of the animal in English, and then next to it, you have a recipe. He's like, well, yeah, you know, I mean, wasn't a whole lot I could say, you know. My passion is the family, and as you are reading through the story, you are learning that God's passion is his family as well. And we have been learning about the nation of Israel and his chosen people. So I want to start by asking the same question Steve asked you last week. How many of you read chapter 5 this past week? Just put your hands up. Be proud of it. Don't lie, but be proud of it if you did. I just cannot get over this. I am so proud of you. If you'll do that every week, you will have the most incredible grasp of Scripture in another couple months. And so please stay with that. You have been studying and you've been reading Genesis and Exodus, and although it was thousands of years ago, it has incredible application and relevance to our everyday life. Last week, you studied the life of Moses, and Steve did a great job of covering the first part of Moses' life, and you had the opportunity to learn that God protected Moses at a very young age, that God was watching out for him. Moses grew up in Pharaoh's palace, but due to his bad temper, his actions forced him to live in obscurity for 40 years after he had taken someone's life. And during that time, God called to him and he spoke to him in a burning bush. And he had an unusual message to him. He said, hey, Moses, you're going to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. And Moses said, oh no, you've got the wrong guy. And God said, no, I've got the right guy. I've got the right guy. And he empowered him to do some incredible things. And God performed miracle after miracle, and the Israelites were freed from slavery. God used Moses. You see, the fire that burned in that bush soon burned in Moses' heart. And after that time, some 3 months later, we pick up the story. And we're still in the book of Exodus. If you want to follow along, you can turn to Exodus 19, verses 4 through 6, or you can turn in the story to page 59. And we'll pick it up on page 59 in the second paragraph. And God is speaking in the midst of this discussion. And God says, "You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." Now you got to get this. Chapter 5 is a huge transitional point in the scripture. God is not going to just interact with certain individuals or just talk to a few people. He will begin to share life with all of his people for the first time since back in the Garden of Eden. "But as for me to do this," the Lord says, There are some things that have to be worked out. You see, God wants the Israelites to make some serious commitments, to have some skin in the game. And commitment comes with a price. And their beliefs must be fleshed out through their behavior. So he invites Moses to come up to Mount Sinai, where he verbalizes to him the Ten Commandments, along with some other guidelines of importance. And Moses comes down from the mountain and shares the commandments that God has said to both he and Aaron and this huge throng of Israelites. And they say in one voice, "Everything the Lord says, everything that he has said, we will do." They've bought in. They have said, we're going to make a commitment to you, O God. Everything you say, we will do. So what is about to take place will be the very next step, and that is, now God is going to write down these covenants and these commandments, and the Israelites are going to make this new agreement with God since God led them out of slavery, out of Egypt. So let's look at this in three different sections. Here's section number one. God has a standard for his people. There's a standard that he has. God doesn't just let us cruise by simply giving him lip service with an occasional visit to a house of worship. He loves us, and like any loving parent, he establishes some boundaries. And when a child is very young and immature, a parent establishes those boundaries. And through consequences, and through praise, through repetition, and through teaching, you mature. As you've read in chapter 5 of the story this week, God has laid out a standard for his people to follow because he wants the world to see that there has been a change in their lives. They are different. They are distinctive. Because they worship the one true God. Maybe you heard about the woman who had a heart attack. She was middle-aged. It was quite surprising. She was on the operating table there. She has this near-death experience. Her heart stops pumping. And all of a sudden, she feels her spirit kind of wafting away. And she says, "I can't believe this is happening to me. I must have died." And sure enough, she's right there standing before the Lord. And she says, "Am I going to die?" And he says, "No, actually, you've got another 43 years, 10 months, and 8 days. So you're kidding. No. Okay. Next second she hears, boof, oh, we've got her back. Her heart's beating again. And she realizes that she had a near-death experience. And so before she leaves the hospital, she thinks, you know what, if I got over 4 more decades to live, I'm going to have some changes made. And so she calls in a doctor, and she has some liposuction. Okay, she calls in her beautician and has her hair dyed, and she has a facelift done, has all these different things done so that she can look young for the next 40 years. She leaves the hospital, and as she is heading out and walking outside, all of a sudden an ambulance comes by, smacks her and kills her. Next thing she knows, she's standing before the Lord. She says, "I thought you said I had 43 years, 10 months, and 8 days. He said, "I'm sorry, I didn't recognize you." As you have read, you're beginning to see that God wants his followers to look and to act very differently than every other group. And it's my hope that the more you read and the more you worship Christ and the more deeply you follow him, the more you will resemble him. And at first, people may not recognize you. You've changed. You're different. But in time, they may just come to love and to follow the one true God whom you have embraced. You see, there is a standard for people to follow. God has kept his promise to Abraham. All the way back in Genesis chapter 12, God promised that he would build a great nation. And now here stands Israel, free from Egypt, at the base of Mount Sinai, and they're ready to truly become a great nation. And God has kept his promise, and now he asks Israel to make a promise to him. In fact, he asks them to make 10 promises to him. And from the top of Mount Sinai, God looks out over his new nation, and like any father, God is surely proud. And like any father, he wants what's best for his children. So God is going to give Moses a couple of stone tablets on which he himself has written the 10 commandments. So Moses ascends the mountain, but this time he leaves his brother Aaron back behind to watch over this huge throng of people. So here's this man in the presence of the Almighty God. And this time God is handwriting these commands for Moses. What a moment that must have been. But meanwhile, back at the ranch, guess what's taking place? You're not going to believe this. The people have grown incredibly impatient while they wait for Moses' return. 1 week becomes 2 weeks. 2 weeks becomes three. And it goes on and on. They begin to ask all sorts of questions. Where is Moses? Is he still alive? Is he coming back? They're unaware that God's going to make Moses wait for 40 days before he sends him back. And they're starting to doubt God's plan at this point. And in Exodus chapter 32, it tells us that the Israelites say to Aaron, "Hey, make us a god in some type of form. In other words, give us some type of an image that we can worship." And Aaron, the brother of Moses, the public spokesperson for Moses, says, "I've got an idea. Let's have every man and woman bring me your golden earrings and we'll melt down the gold." I know what you're thinking. Oh, little earrings. That's not going to go real far on pouring into a mold. Hey, there were 2 million of them. 2 million people, and they had been given gold by people when they left Egypt. 2 million of them, and Aaron fashioned a mold that was in the shape of a young cow, and he poured the gold into the mold. And the Bible says in Exodus 32, verse 4, "This is your God. This is your God who brought you out of Egypt." Now, how does something like that happen? Well, they had seen plenty of idols and images in Egypt, and now is their chance to make their own. Unbelievable. This blasphemous plan is the brainchild of the man who had been speaking to Pharaoh all the words that God had told Moses. This was Moses' brother, Aaron, his spokesperson. Aaron had had a front row seat. He was there for every single plague. He was there and saw every miracle. He has seen it all. He is the last person who should give in to such blatant sin. And the people? As for the people who go along with it, these are the very same people who just days before had said to God, "Everything the Lord has spoken, we will do." But don't be surprised. Even today, I see people who give the Lord honor with their lips, but not with their life. In fact, I am so guilty at times of doing just that. And I can be like Aaron, speaking on God's behalf, but waffling on some spiritual commitment. And now Moses comes down from the mountain, whistling a tune, carrying the tablets, and as he gets halfway down, he begins to hear music, and he begins to hear drums, and he sees the people dancing, and they're partying like it is 1990. Well, they're partying like it's 1446 BC, all right? And this would have made the 10th Street area the night before the 500 look tame. That's what's taking place. And the closer Moses gets, he sees the golden calf, he sees the wild party, and I mean wild. And in a fit of rage, Moses takes these two tablets with all of these commandments from God, and he throws them down on the ground, and he shatters them. What a picture of anger and disappointment. And when confronted by Moses, Aaron explains in Exodus 32, he says, "Well, you know how evil these people can be. Moses, they wanted to worship an image of God, so I had them collect their gold." Now, listen to Aaron's lame excuse. in Exodus 32, 24. This is unbelievable. It's hilarious. So I told them, whoever has any gold jewelry, take it off. Then they gave me the gold. I threw it in the fire. Out came this calf. Sounds like an excuse that a six-year-old would try to float past their parents, you know? But here's what I want you to see. Notice the sad irony. While God is writing out the first two commandments, you will have no other gods before me. You shall not have worship any graven images. While he is writing them down at the base of the mountain, they are breaking both of them. And the Bible says that Moses burned the calf, that he melted it down, and then he poured it into their water supply. They didn't have a whole lot of water in that region, and he forced them all to drink of this metallic water. This was the ancient equivalent of a mom washing your mouth out with soap in hopes that you'll never repeat that same sinful behavior. But that was nothing compared to what happened next. You know what happened next? Moses looks at the Israelites, and he says, "Who's on my side? Who's on God's side?" And all the Levites come running to him. But there were still others who continued their partying and continued their idolatry. But they were about to be judged for their lack of allegiance to the one true God. Now on page 66, look at the second paragraph. This might blow your mind. Exodus 32, verses 27 and 28. Then Moses said to them, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Each man strap a sword to his side. Go back and forth through the camp from one end to the other, each killing his brother and friend and neighbor." And the Levites did as Moses commanded. And that day, about 3,000 of the people died. God will not be mocked. Eventually, the Levites will end up becoming the tribe that God designates as priests and spiritual leaders, partly because of their obedience to Moses here in this setting. But I mean, look at this. 3,000 of their own people are killed by their own people. And that sounds pretty harsh, but you've got to get this. You really have to understand this. It sounds harsh to us because we don't tend to understand the seriousness of sin. We downplay it. We minimize it. And that's why it sounds so harsh to us. Sin is breaking faith with God. It is adultery against God. And throughout the Old Testament, God uses this analogy of marriage to describe his relationship with Israel. So now, Moses has to walk all the way back up the mountain and get a replacement set of commandments. I'm sure he was excited about that. They think, most theologians think he was around 80 years of age at the time. Now he's got to walk all the way back up the mountain. I'm sure that was rough on him. I don't like a whole lot of physical exercise. My idea of exercise is filling the bathtub with hot water, pulling the drain, and fighting the current. So I don't know what it was like for Moses, this 80-year-old man, to go all the way back up the mountain, but God is going to write out again the Ten Commandments. Now, the first four deal with our relationship with God. The next six deal with our relationship with one another. And I guess if I were trying to recap what happened, it might have gone something like this.
The desert sand whirls with the wind, carried by cries of distant Egyptian echoes. The Red Sea long closed. A voice, rich and flowing like heaven's fountain, calls from the smoke-covered mountain. You have seen what I have done, how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Israel's eyes have cried a wealth of tears through countless lost years, but now she is free. Free from Pharaoh's orders, free from Egypt's borders, free from the slave work of brick and mortar. For these slaves have seen their creator command his creation, and now this God has chosen them to be his holy nation. If you keep my covenant and follow my annunciations, so this people with one voice raise their shouts to the skies of endless blue. Everything the Lord has spoken, we will do. This promise offered like a bouquet to God from his chosen few came from all Israel, meaning every single Jew was entering into a new covenant, but none of them could fathom what this promise meant, for they were promising sin, to be steadfast, to abandon their past. And no matter what God asked, no matter the test or request, they had pledged to answer yes. Now, this was so much more than mere obedience, more than sheer compliance. For this covenant ensured their entire reliance on God alone. For the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the great I Am, seated on heaven's throne, was building a home with insignificant Israel. So God posted some house rules to protect his own children, to set apart his holy brethren. And from this intention to hold the world and the kingdom in tension came the intended commandments of 10. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of slavery. So, 1, you shall have no other gods before me. 2, you shall not make any idol for worshiping. 3, you shall not take my name in vain or make it empty. 4, you shall remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. The 10's first 4, at their very core, say with no facade that our God is a jealous God, that there is no golden calf, no idol half as glorious as our Lord. For what more could we strive? Let the 10 begin again with 5. Honor your father and mother. 6, you shall not murder. 7, you shall not be an adulterer. We are meant to worship God as master and serve him only, but how are we to relate to one another in a way that is holy? 8, you shall not steal. 9, you shall not falsely with a neighbor deal. And 10, you shall not covet anything another yield. These final 3 aim to defeat deceit and greed from polluting our souls. For Satan prowls and patrols, looking for ways to circumvent our covenant's holdout on sin, to desecrate and condemn the precepts protected by the 10. So may this people cry out for all that is holy and true. Everything the Lord has spoken, we will do. For it's the same today for me and for you. Everything the Lord has spoken, we will do. We're still called to obey like those wandering Jews. Everything the Lord has spoken, we will do. For we are the royal priesthood. We are the chosen few. Everything the Lord has spoken, we will do. So let the 10 spoken then begin again for me and you. And say it with me if you choose. Everything the Lord has spoken, we his people will surely do.
Everything the Lord has spoken, we will do. He is the Lord. He is the one who brought his children out of Egypt. He is the one who delivered us from sin. He is the Lord who gave us a second chance. He is the Lord who loved us enough to send his one and only son. Everything the Lord has spoken, we will do. The problem comes when we want to make God one of many rather than the only one. And the problem is that we would rather sit on the throne because deep down we don't like for anyone to tell us what to do, even God. And yet in the New Testament, in the book of James, we read in James chapter 2, verse 10, "For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it." So think of the Ten Commandments like this. Think of it if you have a window, and a window has 9 holes in it, or whether it has 1 hole in it. It really doesn't matter. You need a new window. It needs to be fixed. It doesn't matter if you break 1 commandment or if you break 9 or 10 of them. You still need a new window. You still need something to come and fix what is broken. So God has a standard for his people. But secondly, God has a heart for his people. He brought them out of Egypt. He loves them. God's actions toward Israel were always motivated by love. Like a parent who balances truth and grace, God's heart comes through. And the Israelites disobeyed their heavenly Father, and there would be a price to pay for their disobedience. And the same occurs in our earthly realm when a child disobeys their father. I remember back when I was 15 years of age, I experienced every teenage boy's dream. My parents went out of town for 2 days. And it was like, oh, I've been waiting and longing for this. And they were going to travel with another couple. At the time, they didn't trust my brother. They didn't trust me. And so they said, you know what? my dad was the dean of Cincinnati Christian University at the time, so he said, you all are going to stay down at the college campus, and that way I can have 24/7 surveillance on you all. That didn't throw us off. We knew they didn't trust us. That made sense to us, too. So sure enough, we stayed down there, but my parents made one tactical error. When they left the campus and they went with this other couple, they left both of our family cars right there on the campus. No sooner had my parents left and my brother came to me and said, hey, you've been a relatively decent brother. And he handed me the car keys to the second family car, the Blue Beauty, a 1969 Dodge Dart, a chick magnet. And he said, take it out for a spin just to make certain that it's running well sometime around the campus. I said, dude, you are the best brother who ever walked the face of the earth. Now, I was 15 at the time. I didn't have a learner's permit. I didn't have a driver's license. I had no business driving a car. But for two solid days, every time I saw a secretary walk out of a building, I would drive over and I would say, hey, Christy, do you need a ride? Well, yeah, Dave, I'm going to the other side of campus. Hop in, I'll give you a ride. And so I would drive her to the other side of the campus, and then I would bring her back, and I'd say, you know, somebody else need a ride? Yeah, well, I'll send Susie out. She needs to go someplace. So I ran a shuttle service for lonely secretaries for two solid days. Every woman that got in my car, I said, you can't tell anybody. This is our secret. Please, I can't let my parents find out. Don't worry, Dave, we'll never tell a soul. Well, my parents came back in town. First day, everything was fine. Second day, all was smooth. Third day, my dad came home from work. He slammed the door. He said, boys, I want to see you in my office. Well, we went in his office. He slammed that door. He started pacing. You ever seen your dad pace? He starts pacing back and forth. Finally, he stops. He says, is there anything you boys want to tell me? Well, they had been gone for over 2 days. We had done a lot of different things, all right? And we didn't know what he had us for, you know? So he said, is there anything that you boys want to tell me? And my brother and I live by an axiom, never confess to a felony if he only has you for a misdemeanor, you know? And so I said, no, we have nothing to declare. And my dad is a preacher. And so immediately he begins to spout off an impromptu parable. A certain man went on a journey with his wife. Oh no, here we go. When he left town with his wife, he entrusted two sets of car keys to his older son, who in turn entrusted one set of car keys to his younger son, who didn't have his driver's license, but proceeded to drive around the campus of Cincinnati Christian University for two solid days. What should happen to these two boys? Dead silence. He said it again. What should happen to these two boys? Finally, my Sunday school training kicked in, and I looked back and said, as surely as the Lord lives, the older brother must die. Yeah. My dad did not think it was that funny. And he said to me when I turned 16 a little bit later that year, he said, hey, happy birthday, Dave, but you're going to have to wait a while to get your driver's license. Ooh, which just killed me, which is why my son drove me to Indianapolis area this weekend. But we've all blown it. We have all disappointed our heavenly and our earthly fathers. Just like the Israelites, our disobedience is evident. So whether you drove the car or whether you worshiped the calf, God wants and demands our obedience. It is an expression of our commitment. God's actions toward Israel were always motivated by love, and it is consistent with the nature of God, not just back in the Old Testament, but still today. And as you read through the story, you may be confused at times about the discipline that God enacts. You might be confused by the wandering that takes place of the Israelites for 40 years. But he does all of this and allows this to happen because of his love for them. He has a heart for them, and he has a heart for us. So God has a standard. God has a heart for us. And finally, I want us to see that God has a plan for us. God has a plan for his people. Earlier we read the Lord saying, although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. In other words, God didn't just bring the Israelites out of Egyptian slavery for the fun of it. He didn't simply write the Ten Commandments down so he could mock them for their weakness and point out their failures. No, not at all. God has a plan, and he's unfolding it. He wants to fulfill a mission. Remember what Steve preached about a few weeks ago back in Genesis 12 and 15. When God made the covenant with Abraham, the promise was always, I'll make you a great nation so that all other nations will be blessed. Because in time, his plan will entail God's people going to other people, since God wants to be with all of us and he wants to dwell with all of us. Let me ask you a question. Why did God give the law? I mean, why did he write down these Ten Commandments? Well, this may shock you, but one of the reasons God gave the commandments was to show that we couldn't keep them. God was underscoring his holiness and our sinfulness. And the law shows us that apart from the blood of Christ and the grace of God, we will never measure up. You say, but Dave, I mean, I'm not going to worship a golden cow. I mean, come on, I'm not going to do that. But wait, that's commandment number two, graven images. What about commandment number one? God starts with that for a reason. Because if you get number one right, the others will fall into place more naturally. Commandment number one, thou shalt have no other gods before me, the Lord says. And sometimes we get it wrong. We get his plan wrong. Sometimes we misinterpret and we have other gods before him. Maybe it's your salary. Maybe you focus and you fixate so much on that that you get so wrapped up in that that everything comes back to how much money you make. Maybe it's a relationship. You're so wrapped up in that relationship that it becomes more important than it should. A few years ago, you may have heard about the soldier who was over in Afghanistan. While he was overseas fighting for our country, he received a Dear John letter from his girlfriend, and he was devastated. She was breaking up with him, and to add insult to injury, at the end of the letter, the gal wrote, please send me back my favorite picture of myself because I would like to use it in the county newspaper for my engagement photograph. Oh, you talk about kicking the guy while he's down. But all of his buddies came to his rescue. They went all around, and they went to all the barracks, and they collected all the pictures of all the other soldiers, different girlfriends, and their sisters. And they filled up an entire shoebox with them. And then they had the guy write this letter to his girlfriend and say this, please find your enclosed picture and return the rest. For the life of me, I can't remember which one you were. We kind of like that, don't we? But God says, don't let any relationship become more important than your relationship with God. Some fixate on where they live or what kind of a car they drive. But that cannot become more important than he is. And probably the most tempting pursuit may be your family. And yet they cannot become more important than he is. You see, the message of the book of Exodus is that each of us must exalt the Lord above everything else. Because there's room only for one, and that is for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So learn a lesson from 3,000 dead Israelites that if you side with God, he expects your loyalty, he expects your commitment. Now, if you disobey, I don't envision God having you physically killed. But if you continue to place people, hobbies, or position above God, then you will receive something far worse than physical death. Because on the day of judgment, when you say, hey, Lord, remember me? He will look at you and say, away from me, you evildoer. I never knew you. You see, our response should be, everything the Lord has spoken, we will do. But he doesn't just want us to say that. He wants us to mean it with God-honoring choices. And yet, like the Israelites who praise God one week and live like the devil the next, we too make foolish decisions with regularity. I know I do. And God gave the Ten Commandments to show me my need for him. Let me be more specific. God gave the first commandment to show me my need for him. Well, while Moses was on the mountain, God announces some big news. He says, I want to be with my people. I want to be where you all are, in the camp with you. And so God is going to set up shop in the middle of their camp in a tent or in a tabernacle. He wants to be close. He wants to be with them. And here's what you need to realize. The Israelites, they repent. They beg for forgiveness. And Moses begs for forgiveness of God on their behalf. And you might say, now Moses has invited God's presence to be right there with them. You say, well, what does this have to do with me? What does this have to do with Northview? Well, I'm glad you asked. Have you invited God into the presence of this church? Have you invited him into your home? Have you invited him into your heart? You see, God left heaven and Jesus became a man. He lived a perfect life and he died an atoning death on our behalf. And for those who accept Christ and choose to become a follower of his spirit comes down and dwells, not in a tent, not in a tabernacle, but in your heart. I love the way Max Lucado says it. Max says it like this. He says, if God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. If God had a wallet, your photograph would be in it. He sends you a sunrise every morning. He sends you a sunset every night. He could live anywhere he wants in the entire world, and yet he chooses to take up residency in your heart. Face it, friend. He's crazy about you. You see, the Bible is quite clear. Before Christ, it's God with us. But after Christ and his ascension, it is Christ in you. God with us in the Old Testament, Christ in you in the New Testament. What a difference a preposition makes. And therein lies our hope. Because Christ rebuilds, he restores, and he redeems. Let's pray. Lord, our intent is to say to you, everything the Lord has spoken, we will do. And we know we will fail, but we ask you to help us make that our heart's desire, to please you, to worship you, to be obedient to you. Will you help us to that end? All of you is more than enough for me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.